Hey, what's up, everybody? Pastor Matt here in Life Radio NJ Studios with Andrew Torres, Tyler Ryan, and Ethan Christian, yes. And we're glad to be here.
Yep.
Hey, it's the first edition of a brand new show. Very excited to be here with you guys today, and it's a show called Outsourced, and it's a show that we're gonna try to reconcile what's going on in the world
if possible.
We're gonna try to reconcile what's going on in the world and culture, and interact with it in a meaningful way to see what Christ has already said about this. Always go back to the Bible and the Word of God, and see if we can find middle ground here, right? Because we got to find common ground. And as a Christian, I don't always have to agree with you, but Christ requires me to at least listen to your heart. Be respectful, right? Be cordial, but always stick to your convictions, right? So that's what we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be covering all kinds of taboo topics, right? We're going to talk about sex, dating, and relationships, drug use, substance abuse. We're going to cover pop culture, comparative religion, philosophy, anything that the world has given a standard for. We want to interact with it. We want to understand it. And we want to see what God has already said about it. So today's topic, if you're listening, is patriotism versus nationalism. Mm. And this is going to be a fun one, right? This is not a political ad for anybody.
Let's make it clear right off the bat.
Right, yeah. Not yet.
Right, not yet. Unless Ethan is running for president.
Are you running for president?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
First
female president. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna try to uncover all the taboo rocks here. We're gonna talk about all differentiating opinions. You might not even know by the end of the show where we actually stand personally, and that's probably a good thing.
Probably.
So no topic is gonna be taboo. No opinion is gonna be overlooked, and nobody's gonna be left out of this conversation. We want to hear from all people. So if you're on Life Radio NJ and you have some interesting thoughts or you got a question, just go ahead and put it in the chat and we'll try to address it. We have three 15-minute segments today. Very glad to be here with you guys. So let's start it right out. And obviously, we got to set the grounds here. And obviously, we just go to Webster's right away, right? Let's compare these two. Patriotism, the definition of it, right? The quality of being patriotic. Devotion to and vigorous support of one's country, as compared to nationalism, right? Which is identification with one's own nation and support for its interests, especially to the exclusion or detriment
of others,
of the interests of other nations, right? Yeah. Also a subsidiary definition for that alternative definition, advocacy of or support for the political independence of a particular nation or people. So there's some stigma, guys, that we have to conquer first here. And we have to talk about this for a second, because patriotism is not nationalism. However, nationalism does include some version of patriotism. So, Ty, let's work through these definitions, man. What insight can you add to this before we move on?
It's tough to really split the hairs between the two, because they are so causally linked to each other. I feel like if you had a Venn diagram of the two, the circles would almost make one complete circle. But there's definitely some stigma that sets them apart. And I look to two people on the topic who I think said a lot about it, John F. Kennedy and George Orwell. And George Orwell is like kind of the man. If you know anything about him.
In general.
It was
on everything.
20th century writer who wrote a lot about the particularities of the Soviet Union and the destruction of the individual in the 20th century that caused millions of deaths.
A man before his time.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Deeply unappreciated, I think, during his time too. And so JFK, if you know anything about his patriotism speech, I forget exactly which one it was, but he said the quote that's timeless, ask not what your country can do for you, but instead what you can do for your country. I think that sums up patriotism fairly well. Patriotism to me is something like akin to an excitedness to participate in the community vision, if I had to wrap it up succinctly. It's an excitedness to facilitate the community dream, to be a part of a community. And so Orwell says, it's pretty good, I got his quote here from his book he wrote, patriotism is of its nature defensive. right. both culturally and militarily. Nationalism, however, is inseparable from a desire for power. And I think that might be a decent way to draw the line. However, I think he's kind of extreme in his labeling of nationalism as something that's like an offensive act instead of a defensive one. I see where he's coming from. Patriotism says, I take pride in myself and my community, and I further to better them, whereas nationalism also oftentimes gets wrapped up in chauvinism in that I want to put others down while I do it. I think that might be a comfortable way to really wrap up the extremes of the two. But mm-hmm. in the middle, it seems to me like nationalism can be a good thing if you put it in the right context and act it out effectively. Nationalism and patriotism serve the same ends typically, and so there's a lot there to split. I think there's a lot of mud to sift through.
Yeah, there's a definite there's a lot of silt at the bottom of this.
I want to say for sure that nationalism and chauvinism are two very different things, and right now I feel like in America we're using them as the same
synonymous.
Yeah,
right.
They're not synonyms.
So that's what we want to try to get to.
I want
to
weed that.
So let's further create this split between patriotism and nationalism here. Patriotism would say, hey, I'm going to work on my house because it's the best house, right? Where nationalism is going to put out something and say, my house is the best house because it's my house, right?
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what
you mean. It's a fun way to think about it. But right now in America, we're seeing this resurgence of nationalism and tribalism. And we're going to unpack that because that's a really good word, tribalism. And we're seeing this resurgence of nationalism without the patriotism. Because patriotism demands something from us as human beings that nationalism doesn't. Because in nationalism, it's groupthink.
Yeah, patriotism is of the individual.
Yeah, it's hive mentality, right? Where in-group thinking produces a result.
Mm.
And it's interesting that this show is supposed to be having differentiating opinions across the table. Every devout nationalist that I invited on the show respectfully declined. And I think they're from tech director Andrew. I think the reason is because most nationalists cannot think for themselves. It's hive mentality.
Yeah.
Where a patriot can stand with a gun pointed to their head, like Patrick Henry.
Yeah.
Right? Give me liberty or give me death.
Right.
There's no other option for me right now because I am a patriot.
Yep.
Where nationalism is, in the safety of the herd, I can be a loud voice shouting in a crowd.
A great way to wrap that up, I'd say, is patriotism takes the nation and subordinates it to the individual, whereas nationalism subordinates the individual to the nation.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say that
one more time.
So patriotism takes the nation and subordinates it to the individual. So the individual is the standard by which the nation is bettered, whereas nationalism takes the individual and subordinates it to the nation so that you become nothing more than a tool to facilitate the nation and not the individual. That's pretty much what JFK said, I think, in his quote, which is the country doesn't do for you, you do for it. And that's how a patriot functions. So I think that might be a great way to succinctly wrap up the real difference there is which comes first, the individual or the nation.
Obviously, this nation was founded on patriotism.
Right.
It was not, however, founded on nationalism.
No.
It moved away from a nationalist mentality and was born through the sacrifice and blood of patriots.
Yep.
Mark Twain said this, patriotism is supporting your country all the time, right? Yeah. And your government when it deserves it. This is a very interesting opinion by Twain.
Let me say it again.
Yeah. And that's one of those ones where I'm going to say Twain was right on the money.
Yeah.
I'm a red-blooded American through and through. I will support the United States in all its efforts when it deserves it.
Right.
Now, for anybody listening, this is not a call to arms. This is a call for logic here. Let's think through this.
Right.
Because there's some things that our American government is doing right now that are pretty wild.
Yeah.
And in the name of patriotism, in the name of nationalism, and most of the times we have it pretty backwards.
Yeah.
Mm. George Washington, our first president,
there you go,
was offered the position of king.
Yeah.
King.
Yeah.
He was offered. It was they originally thought it was going to be king, and then they came up with the term president. But the title that they gave him was His Majesty George Washington.
That's right.
And George Washington was like, what?
Okay, and you have to take a look at like where we just came from.
Exactly.
Like, guys.
Do you understand what we did here?
We just fought 7 years. It took us 7 years to get through this.
Great Britain all the way over to here
right.
now.
Right.
Guys, you're missing the point.
Right.
We're making Great
right?
Britain
but
too.
But isn't that human nature?
Yeah.
Right? Human nature says, put somebody at the top of the fence post.
Yep.
Right? So we can poke him with rocks and sticks and blame all of our problems on him.
Right.
Right? Hmm. Where the origination, right, the gestation of the American dream came from patriots who understood how to think for themselves.
Yep.
So if there's one thing I want to encourage on this show is to think for yourself.
And be eager to disagree.
Yeah.
I think.
There's nothing wrong with disagreeing.
Yeah, I want to question everything you have to say because right. I want to know what you truly believe.
I believe right. it was Aristotle who said it's an intelligent mind that can play with ideas without accepting them.
Right.
And so what you should be doing is, how could I possibly be wrong? And then what you do is you attack your preconception with all of those. And yeah. so be eager to disagree, not only with us, but with yourself.
Yep.
With right. anybody. Ask questions. That's what I do on Facebook and gets people so mad. They get so heated because all I do is ask questions. I don't have opinions. I just want to learn. So I ask these questions to learn. So yeah. be eager to ask questions.
That's what debating's for.
Right. One of the cool things we're doing here at Life Center Academy is...
debate space, right?
Debate space.
Yeah. There you go.
It's something we invented last year, and we pit the classes against each other to engage in meaningful conversation, dialogue, and disagreement.
Right.
And we don't allow them to choose, which is fun. We don't allow them to choose what the topics are. Which side they're given.
Right.
That's a fun one because I've had many conversations with students and even parents. Why are you making my son or daughter debate this? I said, because it's important for them to understand how to think for themselves.
Yeah. What a question to ask as a parent. Like,
yeah, just tell my child what to think, when to think it. And, somehow they're going to end up a normal human being.
Right.
No, what they'll do is it'll turn their mind into mush. Their logical processes will be stymied and they'll turn invalid.
Yep.
That's what we're doing at university right now, by the way, if you pay attention.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, just force feeding ideas.
Talk about that for a second because, you're a highly intellectual person.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that to you to blow up your brain. but you've been cerebral from birth, right? You're like my little brother. And so I've watched you grow up. And I've watched how your mind, even when you were like 7, 8 years old, when I like first initially met you, nothing was off limits to you.
Hmm.
And you would often come down to my my lair, my office, which was directly underneath.
There, yeah.
It was down there.
It was
a bit of a den.
Kind of was.
Den of thieves.
I remember. And it was like shoved in the back of the hallway, like all the way in the back.
It was a closet.
Yeah.
I lived in a broom closet for like 4 years, but that's okay. I moved upstairs now.
Yeah.
You're right. But I lost a window though. I had a window back
then.
Yeah. It's all right. Anyway, back to the point. You've been highly intellectual, cerebral from birth. And I've watched how your mind has grown and how we've differed in opinions over the years.
Yeah.
And that's important, right? I still love you like to death.
Right.
But there's some things I'm like, like what? But beyond that, I applaud you for your quest for knowledge. And so you're in secular college.
Yeah.
But possibly transferring into
Southeastern University.
Conservative.
Which is like complete flip of where I'm
Pentecostal
at right
background.
Now,
yeah. Right.
Right. Which I'm excited for because I want to question them too.
Sure. Do it. I did. I did at my college, which was also Pentecostal. That was fun. So talk about where people's brains are.
Oh, man.
Like if you could gauge the quality of a young person's mind in university right now, where would you say we're at on the evolutionary scale?
Oh, geez, it's rough.
Primitive ape to transcendent human being.
It's tough because you have to understand that, especially in recent times, all of the university teaching faculty, the professors and whatnot, are all left-leaning nowadays, which not to say that that's like, everybody's liberal and they're crazy and blah, but like what I am trying to say is a left-leaning thinker and a right-leaning thinker differ, and a right-leaning thinker doesn't flourish in a university setting. They flourish in a pragmatic setting where they use their, they don't speculate as often as a left-leaning thinker typically would, as opposed to the pragmatic usage. And so those temperaments translate into political ideologies. And the problem with that is there's almost no separating the temperament from the ideology at university. And so you have, I think right now it is, it's 1/4 of all university professors identify openly as Marxist. And they're teaching their students that ideology. And their students are like, I'm here at university to learn more, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever my professor says, I should probably like really take to heart and consider it.
Right.
And instead of having a fully developed idea structure to attack their school with, they are just kind of like a like an ideology kind of hobbles along instead of like an actual belief system would. And so they're like searching almost, gripping with these hands for the knowledge that they need to like round out their ideology, and they get that straight from their Marxist professors or from their left-leaning professors.
That's
so,
it's
like a breeding, it's like an echo chamber for the same general principles.
Right.
And it's really dangerous, I think.
But. So we're going to unpack the idea in our next segment, and we'll bring in some other people into the conversation as well.
Yep.
But I'm just toss it back over to you, Drew, and we'll see you back in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm cool with that.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on Outsourced.
Dilly. Okay. You think it's all about the swag?
Over here.
You think it's all about the bag?
Over here.
On the block, a Smith and Wesson in my locks. Head is just a weapon and I look like Static Shock. One time for the threads, I got the blessing from my pop. Two times for the paper, like a second Michael Scott. Serpent said the name was Lucy and she's recruiting. I'ma get the holy loose leaf and get to shooting. Say you know a better roster, please introduce me. Indie Tribe, the biggest movement since Bree and Boosie. I came from the clay just like I'm Cassius, son. I'ma be the greatest like I'm Ash Ketchum. Yeah, got some living water, I could pass you some. And the way that I be spraying, gonna have you Harlem shaking live. Shake it, shake it. Shake it, I'ma shake it off. Like Taylor, I'ma saying I'm a spirit bomb. I'm a slayer like I play guitar. Just a player with the head that's like a cinder block. Smith and Wesson in my locks. Hell is just a weapon and I look like Static Shock. One time for the threads, I got the blessing from my pop. Two times for the paper, like a second Michael Scott. Fresh off tour, I got the juice. Bless my Lord, I got the loot. Kiss my boot and hit the booth. Got the force like I was Luke. Not a fool, spit the truth out my tooth, take your tooth, really new altitude, and my crew got the cool interlude, made it through, out the tomb, did I lose, I hit Marty on the celly, call me Padawan. Most you rappers don't believe what you got tatted on. You say the kids are all gimmicks and we don't get it. But you just reading the script and we really live it. Metaphysics, way I wrote it, they gon' quote it like the POTUS pinned it. Keep my focus on my soul, not on your own opinion. Got the tribal on our skin and on my golden pendant. So you know the difference, yeah.
Everybody thing.
Gotcha. All right.
We are coming back.
Woo.
Back at Outsourced.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Hey, we're having a good time here, and hopefully you are enjoying the show so far. If you can, if you're listening, go ahead and share it on your Facebook.
Absolutely.
And, this show is a bit of a evolutionary process, and we'll be taking on many different forms within the coming weeks
yep.
and months. And we want to hear your feedback. So if you're listening, you got questions, comments, concerns, we'd love to hear from you. So totally. Shout out to all the people listening right now. We had Juan D. Rivera was asking if we had a Spanish translation of the song we just played. So I don't think so, but I will look.
We'd anyway. Have to dig around to find that.
Yeah. So before our last segment, we were talking about the Marxist mentality for most professors on college campuses and universities, and the mental state of most people in said universities, and how there's been a degrading of individualistic thought.
Yeah. No, for sure.
We're taught what to think and how to think and how to get there. But that's very dangerous. It's dangerous for democracy. Yep. And I would say it's dangerous for just human living in nature in general.
Yeah.
Because what makes life vibrant is disagreement.
Yep.
So before we get into our next segment, let's just recap a little bit. Patriotism and nationalism, that's our discussion. We're discussing the dichotomy there, the dangers of nationalism, the dilemma that we have in separating the two definitions, and just moving forward from there. So, Ty, why don't you just kind of bring us up to speed on your conversation we had while the microphones were off.
Oh, okay, so we were trying to talk about the liberal versus conservative mentality and how they're both, in my opinion, equally viable, but we need to temper them to fit the context
sure.
of their inclusion. So Matt said something along the lines of the conservative mentality looks for the preservation of everything good and of all. And I disagreed with them because I thought that, in my opinion, it looks something like this. And I think this is a good way to interpret the left versus right dichotomy. The right seeks to preserve something that works. You know, the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's a conservative mindset. And so they're big fans of hierarchy and structure, and they want to preserve them. However, as we all know, hierarchy can displace people. And so the left was formed as a group to champion for those who were displaced. And so in my opinion, it looks like conservative principles seek to further the successful. So the Matthew principle, for those who have, more will be given. The successful need to be preserved because they're working, and we should facilitate their end. And then the left says, let's look at the people who are dispossessed because of that. And so the dichotomy there is, do we keep what we have or do we fix it because it's broken? Because mm-hmm. everything's always broken in some way, and everything always works in some way as well. So that, I think, is the dichotomy. And that's what we were saying off the other for a moment
yeah.
to wrap it up.
Yeah, because it's when we disagree with each other, we're going to clarify what we believe.
Yeah.
And if you can't engage with a fellow human and just have a discussion.
Right.
Right. Let's not get offended by anything. Yeah. You can tell me, hey, Matt, I blatantly
idiot.
Believe, yeah, you doofus. I blatantly believe you're wrong on this,
mm-hmm.
but show me how you got to that error.
Right.
Right.
Show me how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And take me there.
Yep.
Right. Because if you can't take me there, I don't think you believe what you say you believe.
Right. What you believe is what you act out. What you can, what convinces you. And so if you can't elaborate on it, then that's not a belief. That's
No.
That's a facade. It's a mask.
Right.
Yep.
And what that is you are the puppet beneath strings.
You become subordinate to your own ideas.
Right. Somebody else is pulling your strings or has implanted thought processes and memes in your brain that you are acting out on
right.
as if they're conviction. That's a dangerous place to be on both sides of the fence. I want to talk about something. And we brought up the term earlier in the show, and it's the term tribalism.
Yeah.
And it's not a far out concept because we're seeing a resurgence not only of nationalistic ideology, but also tribalistic behavior.
I think that way worse than nationalism right now.
100%. Sure. And I don't want to try to define it. I want to use an ultra conservative person to try to define this. I kind of sit in the middle, in the gray area.
On the spectrum there.
Yeah. The conservative and liberal ideologies. But Ben Shapiro and Jonah Goldberg on the Daily Wire, they have a really cool thing called nationalism. Is it always a bad thing? Mm-hmm. And in the first little bit, he actually defines tribalism. So we're going to take a listen to this YouTube clip. Let's check it out.
So the nationalism versus patriotism bit gets to some of the aspects of tribalism that we've talked about, because there is, I think it's fair to say, good tribalism is in the tribalism of ideas. And then there is bad tribalism as in the tribalism of race or the tribalism of class, things that you can't change about yourself that you are born into. This would be bad tribalism. And tribalism of ideas, where you are part of a group because you identify as part of this group, this would be a tribalism that is less likely to be a problem. Recently, I read a book going to come out in September, actually, by Yoram Hazony over mm-hmm. at the Herzl Institute. And he's a very big proponent of nationalism. And the reason that he's a proponent of nationalism and not just patriotism is he says that there are these set of customs and histories that play into the creation of the tribe, and to simply kind of intellectualize tribalism to, well, I agree with you on this list of propositions, therefore we are now part of the same tribe, ignores the fact that people have a natural inclination to identify with people who have a similar history, a similar culture, a similar language. What do you make of that argument? Is there any way to bridge that particular gap?
So my standard analogy about all this is that every poison is determined by the dose, right? And so nationalism is a little bit like salt. A pinch brings the meal together. It combines all the flavors well. It brings out the flavors. It really sells the dish. A little too much, it ruins the dish. Way too much, it's literally toxic. And so I'm with Roger Scruton. I haven't read this. I don't have the connections you do.
Yeah,
so I haven't gotten the bootleg copy of this book
yet.
Stop
it right there. Cool way to think about it.
It's a different
poignant analogy.
It's a different perspective.
So let's talk about that for a second. Nationalism, he likens to being a toxic substance. Calls it a poison.
Yeah.
But says it's only lethal in small doses.
Large doses.
Large doses. But yeah. The small doses, though, they bring certain elements together. Ty, what do you have to say about Mr. Goldberg's comments there?
Let's look at America 1972.
Okay.
You have vibrant subculture communities. This is post the abolition of slavery and mm-hmm. the real integration of minorities into
freedom culture.
Yeah, freedom culture. Yep. It was the most melting pot I think that America has ever been, or unfortunately now the way it looks will ever be.
After the Ellis Island push.
Outside of when subcultures and smaller communities and minority communities were bolstered, you have this, it's like micro-nationalism is what I would call tribalism, and then like micro-tribalism is what I would call patriotism. Because what we have is these groups, and they're differing groups, and they bring a lot to the table, and they're all represented. You can't really be a nationalist and a racist in America, because the nation of America is built on multiple cultures, multiple races. And so to be a nationalist means to take pride in all of it, not just a piece of it.
Pride of America as a whole, not just...
Yeah, not just the whatever, the tribe you can't pick and choose. Yeah. The thing that I think is really dangerous right now is tribalism. Not so much just nationalism, it's showing face in the tribal mentality. I run into this problem a lot. I think the two biggest ones right now, and they're so arbitrary why they're sex and race, I don't understand. But if you're a man, you can't comment on women's issues. And if you're a white person, you can't comment on minority issues. And that's that.
Sure.
That's it. And the problem with that is, how do we have discourse to arrive at the conclusions if we're using these arbitrary tribal monikers as some sort of like label for whether or not you can participate in the discussion.
Right.
And so I think that's really what he's getting to the point there is, in essence, at the lowest like common denominator of nationalism and tribalism, you get these vibrant, you get the colors of the rainbow really showing up. But what happens when you blend them all together in one nasty nationalism blender, you get this poop brown nobody wants to see. And that's really what I think he's talking about, is you ruin the cultures that come together in their tribes by trying to value one over the other.
Yep. Right, because patriotism is founded on the principle of, like, I believe in a creed, and this creed is my motto, not only for life, but in my action, in my thought processes, and the way I'm going to conduct myself in society. Hmm. And where nationalism, it doesn't display a creed. It picks a person. It picks a look. It picks a color, a gender, a social norm, and makes that a creed, right? Mm. Where the United States was founded on life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness for all, right? Races and religions. And that is where we need to get back to.
Yep.
But I'm afraid that we've climbed a hill and we've made camp there and we've decided not to go back down.
Yeah.
Right? We've decided not to go back down to our roots as a country because it'll be too painful for too many groups because their bubbles will be burst. Mm. Mm. So as Christians, right, this is where we tie in the entire show. And in our next segment, we'll unpack with some other guests, is what in the world does the Bible have to say about all of this?
Kind of important.
It's crucial for us as believers and people who have faith in Jesus Christ to understand what the Bible says about this and what it doesn't.
Yep.
And this will probably be the only time on the show I disclose a very personal belief. Because I want to try to remain unbiased in my approach besides my moral convictions. The evangelical church at large has picked up the flag of nationalism and, and ascribed to ideologies that are not becoming of a true follower of Christ. Hmm. And we need to get back to that. So, I want to look into the New Testament for some insight into this. I want to share a scripture, Philippians 3:20. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people who are oppressed in the Roman culture, right? These are the early Christians. They were persecuted far beyond any other group of people. And Paul says this. He says, our citizenship resides in heaven. And it's a loaded statement. Hmm. And before I unpack that, I think it's a very strong warning from Paul that still resounds today because we're dealing with this right now. I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to show all of us that if we pick up a flag before we pick up our cross,
right?
Jeez,
you're not a Christian any longer.
Yep.
Because you've bought into a man-made version of what Christ already decided was done with. Mm. Mm. Christ says you belong to the kingdom of heaven first, and then to your local government. Paul actually beseeches right the Roman government at one point.
Yep.
He says, "Hey, look, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't persecute me like this." Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he was not there to incite rebellion,
right?
Nor was he there to grandstand, nor was he there to vouch for, to defend any political party in the Roman government. Fun statement.
Yep.
Tyler, Romans 13 says this, don't resist the government. That's what it says.
We did talk about that, yeah.
We're going to talk about that one because that one's a fun one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't resist a government. So, Tyler, how in the world do I
reconcile a belief like that with the particular incarnation of the government today?
Right.
How do you do that? can you do it?
Will you do it? Can you? How do you do it? What do you think, Ty?
This is something fun to think about, I think. If Jesus were alive today, would he subscribe to an American political party? Which one and why? Mm. And... well, to me, it doesn't look like either of them fit this narrative quite at all. They would both be pretty much an insult. Plus, he didn't have much to say politically when he was here. But he did act out one huge abstraction that I believe is vital to a free society, and that is the individual is the locus for society. The revivifying agent is right. the individual, nothing more.
Because if I can break you, if I can break your mind away from right. the groupthink that's going on in the world, mm-hmm. I'm going to show you not only a higher way to live, right, but the kingdom of God's way, right?
Well, that's why he sacrificed himself,
right?
As an individual, he yep. sacrificed himself for the revivification of everybody else.
So,
which is, I think, if you think of that metaphorically in the political sense, it's the individual takes the schema and shapes it up better.
Very patriotic behavior.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah, the individual is the locus for society that revivifies it. Something like that.
Not only dying for a belief system, but dying at the hands of the government he was subservient to.
Right.
Yep.
Being willing to do that mm-hmm. is, I mean, a quality that none of us possess to the highest extent. So he did, you did say he had very little to say about politics, and
yeah.
it's very true.
Yep.
One unique statement he said in Matthew 22, we're all very familiar with this. He says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's.
That's a miracle, by the way.
Yeah.
If you want to know what a miracle looks like, it's the separation of church and state in, 12 words? That's a miracle.
It's a very unique thought process, and I don't think we understand this. I don't think we know how to act upon it.
I don't think there is rendering anything unto Caesar and only Caesar today. It's everything that's God's is also political.
Isn't that weird?
And that, I think, is very telling of a deteriorating political schema. Is we can't have a discussion about this without getting political.
And, right. And also a deteriorating ethos behind Christianity in general.
Mm. Right.
Right. I literally have the hardest time separating what I believe from my behavior in society.
Right.
Mm. Because social norms now... they guise as non-offensive.
Ineffectual.
Right.
You know, they don't really make a difference. You're just acting out this idea.
Right. But as followers of Christ, we know that our loyalty is always to God first.
Yep.
Even when that makes us subcontractors to the government, and even when that makes us subservient to the government, I'll take my morals to the grave if I have to, but oh my gosh, it's so hard to follow Christ because, society in general, has painted Jesus Christ as a political figure,
right?
Where he was not, he was never,
especially the evangelical society.
Well, that's one of my biggest qualms. And yeah. I said, I lean away from sharing my opinion on this show. But that one I'll be outspoken about because I belong to it.
Right.
I actually belong to the evangelical church at large, but
Jesus was not a politician.
No.
And he's not a tool to serve your political end.
Right. Nope. Hey, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Yep.
All right.
This is Life Radio WIFI 1460 AM, Florence, Burlington.
Fox News, I'm Mike Piazza. R&B singer R. Kelly sprung from jail. An unidentified person paid his back child support payments. Steve Greenberg is Kelly's attorney.
As far as the child support matter, what was posted, the judge has entered a gag order, so we can't really talk about that.
Kelly charged with 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse told reporters we're going to straighten all that stuff out. Severe weather pounding the country's midsection.
These right now are mostly just some very strong thunderstorm with some really strong winds. Certainly a lot of lightning, but as the day goes on and it pulls a little farther towards the east, that's where we're going to see a threat for some more significant severe weather, including tornadoes.
Fox's Rick Reichmuth. Reichmuth says the storm system is expected to bring 6 to 12 inches of snow across northern Minnesota, the Dakotas, and parts of Wisconsin today. This is Fox News.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yo, me and Adam, man, we really gotta have words. I'm sorry, brother, but I heard you made it all worse. I'm stuck, I don't know what works. I know it ain't all your fault. You're just as flawed as me. And plus, I know what it's like when I let Satan talk to me. And yo, I've read all these books, and I've read all these verses. So why, when I progress, do I get caught reversing? I'm trying to keep it moving, just trying to find your grace. But I just feel like in my life I made so many mistakes.
What can wash away my sins?
Crazy, and they don't understand where I've been lately. I've been battling myself, but can he save me? I put my faith up on that shelf, and yeah, it changed me. You can tell that I've been lazy. It's the world that I was craving. But then I had a dream. He said that life ain't even always what it seems. Every test is a lesson, every lesson is a blessing if you choose to see the message.
Tell me what can wash away my sins.
And I'm still standing by his grace, it disappeared. All of my failures, all my shame, now I see clear. And that's because no other name has brought me near. And I can't wait to see his face, I'm pressing on. All my mistakes, they are erased, and now I'm strong. It's like the judge has closed the case, I can't move on. And yeah, I've moved from place to place, but now I've found where I belong.
It was the blood, it was the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of Jesus.
I ain't nothing without the blood of Jesus. Covered to be,
with
me, where would we be? Without a soul singing glory. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I knew, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
It was the blood. It was the blood of Jesus.
Can save me.
It was the blood of Jesus.
Can raise me.
I need it.
And we're back. Outsource. Pastor Matt Baldwin is here. And the room just got a little bit more crowded.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Welcome back to Outsource, guys. I'm having a blast on this show. Thank you guys for listening. Shout out to Pastor Russell Hodgins.
Yep. Just got on.
Just hopped in the chat. So we just switched out a couple of the guests on the show. One of our assistant tech directors, there's Eddie Cosme back there. He's supporting his Duke jersey. And very happy. Shout out to the Duke Blue Devils, who are playing at 6 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, the Devils.
Dookie.
Devils.
It's all right. These are the only Devils I like. And we just added one of my... What? These are...
It's Protestant jokes.
Anyway.
Just brought on one of our students here at Life Center Academy, one of my students at The Source, Dylan Monhey. Dylan, say what's up to everybody.
Hey, what's up?
And then one of our young adults here in the church, Evan Colquitt, who you cannot see on camera. Evan, shout out back there.
Raise your hand, Evan. Raise your hand.
How you guys doing?
There he is
on camera, man. So we're having a blast on the show. Hey, if you're tuning into the show, go ahead and share it on your Facebook real quick. We got about 15 minutes left in the show.
Yep.
So quick recap. We're talking about this debate between nationalism and patriotism.
Right. Yep.
And we're talking about the state of American society as a whole. So we're covering a lot of ground today, but the most important thing is what the Word of God says to us and what it doesn't say. So we have a lot of things backwards as the church at large, as Christians, because we think that we think I could get in very big trouble for this statement.
I'm excited.
We think that we're needed in the political environment.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. Tyler, unpack that statement for me, because I think you know what I mean.
With tact. It's okay if I say it.
I can't
lose my pastoral position.
I'm just going to hand this off to him because he knows where I'm at on this.
So, essentially, the Christian, what he's not saying is that as believers, you shouldn't affiliate with the political schema, because that's not the case. You should have an opinion, and you should champion for your belief, and you should champion for the belief itself. However, just like Christ didn't explicitly interact with the political schema when he was, he wasn't marching up to the Roman, emperor and being like, yeah, this is how you should run your country. We're not called to do the same thing. I don't believe from a believer's position. You're supposed to act out and champion for, it's like the Catholic expression is like, pick up your cross and then walk it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to act out Christ, and then from that, the consequence will be the shifting in the right direction. And I think there's no better way to wrap up a fully functioning society than every individual doing that, acting out their truest belief in order to shape the world around them, not explicitly going out and shaping things, and then the belief comes second. And I think that's kind of what the Christian community is starting to do, is jumping into the political discussion. I'm a Christian and I believe this, and that's why we should do it that way, instead of acting out first the belief and then having the fruits change the political discussion.
I don't need to affiliate with anybody.
Right.
My affiliation is with Christ alone.
Yep.
And I know that sounds like a glamorous thing, and it sounds very easy and it rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
But that's the truest credo that I can ascribe to.
Mm.
And that's where my patriotism for my country lies.
Yep.
Because I have convictions and I'm willing to die for them.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. Hmm. So, we are wrapping up this last segment, and I brought in one of my students here, who just so happens to be one of the benefactors of this patriotic creed that we ascribe to, because his parents are first generation Americans. And, that's a really cool thing. So, Dylan, can you just tell us a little bit about your parents and where they came from?
Yeah, my mom's Puerto Rican. She was born over there. She lived 5 years over there, and then she moved over to Brooklyn, New York for most of her life, and she kept on moving back and forth, but then she finally stayed over here. And my father moved from Costa Rica when he was 18, so they both met each other over here in Jersey, and now they had us, and I was born here, so I'm a second-generation American. So, yeah.
Yeah, so as a second-generation American, especially a young one, you're 17?
15.
I always forget because you're so tall. All right, yeah. So you're 15 years old.
He's got a beard. He's starting to get a beard.
Yeah, dude. It's that deceiving Latin beard.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, you had a beard when you were like five.
That's not necessary. That's, yeah.
It's not necessary to say this.
It's a Mediterranean thing. Yeah.
I can't say anything.
I don't know why I'm saying this. Okay, so back to the discussion at hand. You're the benefactor of this nation and its values. But being a young person, where do you see our government going? Because right now you don't have the opportunity to vote, but they're trying to lower the voting age right now. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
Right.
They're trying to lower the voting age to gain access.
Yeah. They're lowering it. It's to 16, right? That's what they said?
That's what they're looking
That's
for.
Silly.
It is one of the... we're asking for... And I'm not throwing you under the bus here because I love you very dearly. But you have not even had the chance to experience societal norms at the adult level.
Right.
So why are we voting on societal norms as a young person? Anyway, I digress. For you, where do you see when you're an adult, 21 or 22, where do you see our political world? I mean, what are your fears? I know you have to have them.
Yeah.
I have them right now.
Still.
So talk about that for a second. I mean, what are you thinking, man?
I mean, I'm happy that both of my parents came here legally and they are both citizens of the United States. Mm. But some of my family has come here illegally, and I do worry about them a lot.
Yeah.
Because right now we're in a situation where they can just get rid of anybody and send you away.
Yeah, that's a very scary place to be. And I can't even imagine what a family, intra-family goes through with the thought of like, hey, one day dad might not be here.
Right.
And
I have a friend of mine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy thing to think about. I mean, this is such a hot topic, and I don't think I want to go down the immigration route.
This week,
at least, yeah. But I did want to get, you know, some chance to hear from you as a young person. I mean, what are your peers saying about the do they care about politics? Is it kind of out of sight, out of mind for them?
I mean, from my peers, we do care a lot about politics, but we do tend to get overheated on the conversation and then start focusing on like, okay, I'm right, you're wrong.
Okay.
And that's where it's not supposed to happen. You're just supposed to have a conversation with somebody to be able to share both viewpoints and be able to find a common ground between it.
Yeah. So you have obviously you go to private school, but you have friends in public school. You know, let's just talk about our Burlington Township students right in our backyard. For them, you know, obviously as a Christian here, do you have discussions with them about politics at all? Is it kind of like something that you guys are interested in? What I'm trying to do is go inside a teenager's brain to see where we can start to rectify these issues, right? And address them. As a pastor, right, I'm not only trying to prepare my students for life morally, but life culturally. Like, I want to help my students be the best American citizen they can be. And that's by adding value to society and not just eating steady diet of what we're fed.
Of ideologue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dylan, thanks for sharing that, man. I mean, What do you think, though, will happen maybe 5-6 years from now where we're sitting underneath a new president? Like, what if you could pick your ideal president right now, what would that president look like?
It would probably be a president who I wouldn't say who has Christian beliefs, but who has a belief that that stands for everybody's. Hmm. That is someone who adheres to what everybody has to say. And to be able to take that into consideration when they decide to make a new law or when they decide to try and get rid of a law.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to dive into your brain for a second and you can correct me if I'm wrong. You're looking for somebody who doesn't take the flag of Christianity and wave it, mm-hmm. right? You're looking for somebody who's going to be a little more even keel and not necessarily just say, hey, I'm Christian and I believe in Christian values, but somebody who's going to be, I guess the word would be arbitrary?
Utilitarian.
Utilitarian, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
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 The best for as many people.
Right. That's a very interesting thought, and I'm very glad you shared that because I think that's where a lot of your peers are right now, is they're looking for somebody who's not unbiased, but they're not going to allow their biases personally infect and infiltrate their
legislation.
Yeah. Right. So we also have another guest on there. Evan, can you just raise your hand up for us?
he's sort of in the camera now. I think he's
back of his head.
We can see his head and his headphones. There he is. All right, we're good. All right, we're good.
So Evan, obviously you went to Temple University in Philadelphia, and that is a very liberal school in general. And you've talked to me about, you've talked to me about your experience there, and how the African American and Black culture tried to swallow you whole.
Yeah.
So, what political food did they try to feed you, bro?
I mean, the political food was just like, I wouldn't say necessarily like political food for me, because I was coming with like the word of God, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But I did hear, you know, some people say, like, I had this one class, right? And I hated this class. And I hated the professor.
Oh.
And it was called U.S. Political and Payments. So I'm learning about Medicaid and Medicare, what it's like to have insurance, But like, there's this one day I went to class, and I was sitting next to this guy, and he apparently like he was gay, right? And he asked a question, And then my professor was like, I guess he asked a question about, oh, would it be cheaper to have Medicaid or Medicare? And the professor was like, thanks, gay dude. And then the class just got quiet.
Oh, word.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious, bro. Like, this is real live temple. Like, bro, like, I was like, wait, did I just hear, like, I texted my friend during the class and I was like, yo, did y'all just hear this, man?
No,
like,
but listen, that's important to take note of, because look,
I'm like, bro.
A very casual liberal aspersion is segregation via group. Mm-hmm. And so you're gay and that's your gay opinion, just like you're black.
But it's messed up because, like, as a teacher,
I think it's wrong, right?
I should respect you regardless of, you know.
Well, yeah.
Whatever you believe in, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of hard for me to display God because, like, people are mad defensive. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I had this one RA, right? Her name was Faith, but apparently, you know, she didn't have no faith. And she was just like, I'm serious.
This is why I brought Evan on the show.
And I was just like, listen, she was just like, why are you so happy? I was like, listen, Faith. I believe in Christ. You know, I believe that Jesus went to the cross. He died for my sins. And she wasn't trying to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, that's good. You know, I believe in the universe. A lot of people in college, bro, they say that they believe in the universe. And I'm just like, what is that? You know what I mean? Like,
I believe in these rocks.
And so she got mad
at
me
Mars.
One day. And so one day she approached me. She was like, Evan, why are you always smiling? Like, right. I went to her dorm because we had, like, a dorm meeting one day. And so I went to her room. And so she was like, Evan, why are you laughing? Like, nothing is funny. And I got offensive because I was like, I can't smile. Like, I'm filled with Jesus. But it was, but Temple, it was different, bro. Like, you just see a lot of things.
And Temple was not necessarily liberally founded.
Exactly.
Hmm. It was founded ultra conservatively. I mean, it's
I mean, Philly was really conservative for a very, very
yes.
long time.
Yes, and it's interesting to see where we're at right now. I mean, I'm a Philly fan through and through. I just took a buddy of mine to the airport today, and I drove through the city, and I was just like, there's so many people here, so many differentiating opinions, and is there anybody really listening? Mm. Like, and I guess that's my thoughts for this show. Is how can I become a better listener? Mm. I don't want to be the one leading the conversation.
Yep.
If I'm asked to take the microphone, I will. I'll do it gladly, and I'll speak with conviction, and I'll speak my moral code. I won't waver from it. I won't back down from it. But I'm looking to become a better listener. Mm. So for all of our listeners out there, I hope you are listening, and I hope that as you engage with the show and as the show kind of evolves over time, that we're able to put that as our best ideal,
right?
To learn how to listen. So, hey, thanks for tuning into the show today. Thank you to all my guests, Eddie, Andrew, thanks for tech directing today.
No problem.
Tyler, thanks for adding to the conversation. Gotcha. To my student, Dylan, and to one of our young adult leaders, Evan, we thank you so much for joining.
Yes, sir.
Hey, have a great week. Peace.
Don't forget, services to our at the Fountain of Life.
9 a.m.
and 11. We will have the 11 o'clock service right here on Life Radio. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Of course.
And,
shameless plug.
Right. I mean, it is. You
it's
had
necessary.
To do it.
Had
come
to do
shop
it.
At CVS. Yeah.
That's right. What? All right. Thank you so much for tuning into Outsource. Stay tuned for next week's episode where Pastor Matt will be diving into more topics and just breaking some stuff down.
Peace.
Let's get it.